This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. Now, former Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak has been found guilty of all seven charges related to the 42 million ringgit from SRC International Berhad case. Now, the charges concerned abuse of power, criminal breach of trust, as well as money laundering.
Yes, Judge Mohammad Nazlan Mohammad Ghazali ruled that the defence failed to raise reasonable doubt in the prosecution's case. And this marked the first conviction against Dato' Sri Najib in the multiple 1MDB-linked criminal cases against the former Premier. And we're going to be taking a deeper look at this right now.
Yes, to give us more insight, we have on the line with us Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, as well as a frequent commentator on Malaysian politics. Bridget, thank you for joining us. So what does the court decision affect Najib's influence in UMNO?
Good morning. Absolutely. I think if we look at UMNO as a party, Najib's influence has been a divider since 2015 when the 1MDB scandal was actually exposed. And I think after GE14, we see a situation where the party itself was split in its party election over whether or not Najib should be the driving force within the party. He held on, and since that time, he has been gaining influence. But yesterday's decision changes this quite significantly. We see yesterday in the wake of the decision very different responses from UMNO leaders. Some call to move on, and others really sort of rally around the leader of Najib. But I think that this division is very clear, and I think that Najib himself, while he has a lot of loyalists and money, doesn't have the same influence because he can no longer sit for an election if a new election is held, and he also has been tainted by this conviction.
So Khairi Jamaluddin were some of the politicians who said that UMNO is best for them to move on. What is UMNO's best move forward? Distance itself from Najib or continue to show up support for him?
I think the reality is that Najib has been a liability for UMNO. This is most clear in the fact that he was responsible for the scandal which helped to bring down the party in 2018. And so as a sense, the party cannot move forward as long as Najib is playing such a dominant role because he limits the ability for the party to reach the middle ground. And as a consequence, the party has to compete with other parties that are looking at the same political ground. And so I think what we're seeing is a situation where new leadership will be emerging within UMNO. And I think the next case to be looking for is what's happening to Zahid Hamidi, who is currently also in the legal dock facing his charges. My sense is that given his close alliance relationship with Najib and his own liabilities, that they will be looking beyond him for different party leadership.
So, Bridget, with this verdict now, who stands to benefit within the UMNO power structure? There's a lot of talk about how new leadership could come up. Who do you think stands to benefit the most?
Well, I think there are two different dimensions here. I think within UMNO, you can see the factions that have been pushing for a kind of non-Najib alliance. Mohammed Hassan, for example, people who have articulated this but probably will not have as a prominent leadership, Tunku Razali. These are people who are seen as the non-Najib allied faction. And they're not just about Najib, but also about positions in terms of the alliance with different parties and also the issues of political rhetoric, the whole identity of the party, along those included in that is someone like Khairi Jamaluddin. So I think we can see this even at the young level. So someone like Shahidan Hamdan, as opposed to someone like Ashraf, who seem to be more allied with Najib. It's going to be interesting to see someone how Ashraf has responded because he has to figure out and position himself how the direction that the party will move. The second aspect of this is that I do not rule out that there will be new people who come into UMNO. The UMNO itself may transform. And the most important person that I put as a potential player in this is Muhyiddin Yassin himself. I think that there are likely to be new sets of alliances and new dynamics that emerge. Keep in mind, on the eve of this decision, Mat Hassan extended again the offer to Muhyiddin Yassin to come into UMNO. Are these things possible on the cards? Absolutely.
And do you think Tan Sri Muhyiddin should join back UMNO?
Well, if he has to choose between his party Bersatu and a party like UMNO that has all the grassroots and others, I think that in terms of the electoral possibilities, UMNO is a much stronger party.
So with all of this, with all of these dynamics now at play, how likely do you think it will be that Tan Sri Muhyiddin will call for snap elections, or will he wait it out until the next scheduled election?
So we see what's going on now is that there are two different arenas of contestation, the first of which has been the one that people focus on, things that are happening at the political elite level through alliances and so and through different sort of configurations. The focus attention has been on the parliament, and everyone was arguing that Muhyiddin was actually going to lose a potential ally and that he would potentially lose a vote within the parliament. And as a consequence, this would force him to move to election. My particular view on this is that I think that Muhyiddin Yassin actually gained at the political elite level. I know this seems counterintuitive, but in fact that I think that by more divided UMNO and also the possibility of new sets of people either coming back to support him or to abstain on a vote, I think that it's likely that he may get through the parliament and not have to call elections either until later this year or next year in this context. But it's still a very fluid situation. I don't think that it is a very as clear cut, but I think it is. It's not as clear cut as that he's definitely lost at the political elite level in these processes. The second arena, of course, is at the public level. And I think Muhyiddin Yassin gained yesterday in this decision, not so much from the decision, the particulars and how the decision was carried out, because that was very much in the product of the judiciary and the judge and others, but more as a result of the sense that there was no interference, and as a result of that, this is something that has boosted Muhyiddin, but of course it comes in a very situation complex where he's also has very different perspectives within the Malay heartland. Some of them will blame him. At the same time, he also has, for those who are concerned with corruption issues, his government has not necessarily set the best example in these areas. So I think he's made some gains in this sense of a legacy, a particular issue on allowing this decision to move forward. But at the same time, there are still a lot of uncertainties. This is all by way of answering is I don't think elections will be happening right now. I think that there are too many things that are going on. And I think even within his coalition and the seat allocations, those issues are very serious.
You know, well, while we're talking about elections, Bridget, you know, there was some talk about out of Terengganu, UMNO, that they would contest all the seats in parliament there. And I mean, how does this judgment, this verdict play into the dynamics between UMNO and the other parties that it's right now allied with?
Well, you have to understand that the Mafakat Nasional has always, it's a bit of a difficult coalition in the sense that, first of all, Najib was a very important player in that coalition. So now Najib is not, his role has shifted, right? So therefore, and Zahid has also been important in this coalition, but whether or not, so these changing dynamics at the elite level will also mean that there'll be new relationships and others that have come out in this process. The second thing is that there are places where this coalition was a problem electorally. Terengganu is one that we've talked about, but also in Kedah, and in particular in Johor. The relationship between UMNO and Bersatu is problematic. In the case of Terengganu, it is between PAS and UMNO. In the case of places like Kedah, it's PAS, UMNO, and of course Bersatu. So there, these things at the very local level in different communities are actually been quite not unresolved. And so the formulas that were being articulated in terms of seat negotiations were not as clear. Bersatu will be holding its party elections. There are, and of course, and within that, what's also going on now is UMNO will be having its recalibration. And all of these will affect who and how the relationship with the coalition and, of course, the positioning of seats and where people will want to contest.
So when it comes to UMNO leadership, right, Bridget, I can't help but notice how prominent Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri has been, especially in the pandemic era. How much influence does he have in the party? Could he be one of the biggest leaders in there?
He's definitely an important player. I think it's very interesting yesterday that he was not seen in the courtroom. He distanced himself and immediately in that process. He is seen as close to Najib, coming from Pahang, but at the same time, he is not seen. He is also developed his own personal identity. He could be one. He is one of the key contenders for leadership issues, and is already a leader. He could be potentially a bridge. I think that it would be foolish to say that the people who are close to aligned with Najib will still not be part of UMNO. They very much will be, but given the fact that Najib controls so many of the division chiefs and have so many loyalists. So I think that there will be people who represent or bridge different factions, and it's Ismail Sabri has gained the most political profile in this COVID-19 period.
And given what's going on now, and I know it's a shifting situation, how should Pakatan Harapan capitalize on a potentially more divided UMNO?
Well, I think Pakatan Harapan has their own sets of issues and divisions, and I think those have not yet been resolved. And I think that the challenge Pakatan Harapan faces in the short term is that they will have to choose how they're going to navigate the different divisions. And keep in mind, this is not going to be an easy time for Malaysia, in the sense that these divisions create high levels of uncertainty. They also don't provide a clear electoral mandates in terms of policy mandates. They make people very dependent on focusing on politics as opposed to policies. And if we've seen already the insecurities being manifested by challenges to critics and journalists and others, those forces that are happening here are not going to go away. And I think that there is a lot of anger among many supporters of UMNO, particularly the Bosku community, that feel a very sense of disappointment. And those energies will also be channeled. And so Pakatan Harapan still is focusing heavily on the political elite level and the divisions within that. I think that the political elite decisions will challenge the coalition further. And I think that this is something that is going to be, you're more likely to see more divisions and differences, at least in the short term. However, I think that at the same time, this is allowing them to readjust to engaging the electorate to define and redefine their role as active as an opposition. And I think that these different dimensions are coming to the fore. Pakatan Harapan's statement before this decision did reflect a bit of more cohesiveness than we've seen in recent weeks. But it will be an extremely challenging time. And Pakatan Harapan needs to rebrand itself and to clearly show the electorate what it stands for. And I think that is going to be a challenge for the coalition.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Bridget. That was Dr. Bridget Welch, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, with her analysis following the SRC International trial verdict that we saw yesterday. Now, we have also been running a poll on the subject of what UMNO is going to do now, right? So we asked, following the High Court verdict in the SRC International trial, will UMNO distance itself from Dato' Sri Najib Razak?
We've got quite a split vote here. 24% saying yes, 40% saying no, 28% saying eventually, and about 8% say they don't know. And really, it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays into the entire power structure at UMNO. And just to remind everyone that it's not over. The verdict yesterday is just the first stage of a very long legal battle. It will definitely go to the Court of Appeals after that, and we should expect this to go all the way to the federal court.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting time, isn't it? I think Bridget's point that this has been pivoted to be seen as a win for Tan Sri Muhyiddin is also going to be interesting to see how Perikatan Nasional as a whole and how Bersatu comes out of it. We're going to be watching the story very closely and bringing you updates as we get them. But right now, we have the 8 o'clock news bulletin coming up for you, and then the Breakfast Grill, where Roshan Kanisin speaks with Tommy Cheng, founder and COO of CGEM, as well as Kevin Wong, owner of Wolf. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.